This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Jesus is always and will always, He has always and will always remain fully righteous. And since our righteousness is based on Him, He will always remain and be fully righteous. And so if He's always going to be righteous and my faith is in His righteousness, I'm not going to lose my righteousness. If He didn't lose, the only way I can lose my righteousness is if Jesus loses His righteousness. Because my righteousness is a gift. He gave me His righteousness. I can't lose my righteousness unless Jesus loses His righteousness, and He's not going to do that.
So let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Ooh, it's time we live a new life. Ooh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
See, there's a difference between, get this, sin and the sinner. Write that down. There's a difference between sin and sinner. We do not become a sinner again just because we committed a sin. So when you're born again and you're the righteousness of God and you receive the gift, you don't become a sinner again because you sinned. No. Please get that now. You do not become a sinner again because you sin. We don't do that. What Jesus did on the cross is stronger than that. You don't become a sinner again because you sin. Now, I know there's some people listening to me just going to try to use this to find a loophole and do what pleases you rather than doing what pleases God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to get you to get to a position where you can accept your identity in Christ Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and He takes the desire away from you to do stupid stuff. What Jesus did on the cross is much stronger than the sin in your life. What Jesus did on the cross is much stronger than the sin in your life. What Jesus did on the cross is much stronger than the sin in your life. This is about our nature. This whole thing is about our nature. You keep making it about your behavior, and this whole thing is about your nature. If you change the root, you change the fruit. Listen to me now. Jesus dealt with sin and the sinner. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Jesus dealt with the sin and the sinner at the same time. Now watch this. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. How so? Verse 6. Knowing this, here's what you got to know, that our old man, now the old man is that old sinful nature you had before you got born again and you received the new creation. The old man, that old sinful man, the old man, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. So when you got born again, the old man was crucified to death. You got rid of the old man, and you now have a new creation. He says, the old man was crucified with Him, comma, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So now the next phrase describes the old man. The old man is the body of sin. The old man is the body of sin. Now watch this. He says, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So the day you got born again, that old man, that body of sin was destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, he's not saying that henceforth we should not serve sinning. He is calling the body of sin, sin. He is calling the old man sin. The word sin in verse 6 is a noun. He's referring to the man, the sinful man. He is saying, knowing this, that our old man is crucified and that the body of sin is destroyed, henceforth we should not serve the old man or the body of sin. That's what he's saying. This is about you being set free from the old man. This is about the nature that you used to carry. You keep making it about how you behave. And you got to understand, if the old man, the old sinful man, the body of sin, if that has been destroyed and if it has been crucified, then you have the new creation. You've got to understand, the day you believe you're the new creation, then you're going to produce new behavior. But the reason why people produce the same sinful behavior is because they still think they're just the same sinful man. They don't think anything happened to the sinful nature. They don't believe that they are the righteousness of God. And the day you believe you're righteous is the day you're going to do right. It's about the nature. It's about the old man. Are you allowing yourself to refuse to believe that you are a new creation? It's about you believing who you are. Your identity determines your behavior, but you've been allowing your bad behavior to tell you that you're bad. And so when you do something bad, then you say, that's who I am. When you're doing crazy things, you say, well, I'm crazy. I'm a bad person. And what you need to be saying is, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a new creation in Christ. The day, in the middle of junk, you can declare, I am the righteousness of God, is the day you're going to produce righteous fruit. This is about identity, ladies and gentlemen. This is about your nature. Look at verse 7. For he that is dead, well, who's dead? Who is he talking about in verse 6? That old man, that sinful man. He that is dead is freed from that old man. Not sinning. He says, if you're dead, you're free. You're free from that old man. You're free from that sinful man. You're free from that old nature. You're free from it. In other words, that old nature, since you're free from it, you're not going to be obeying the dictates of that old nature. Since you're free from that old man can't make you sin like it used to. See, when before you were born again, you sinned, you had to sin because that was your nature. It was your nature to sin. But now that you've been set free from that old man, that old nature, and you now have a new creation, you now bring forth the fruit of the new creation. Love, joy, peace. Something happened on the inside, so we're going to see the fruit of it on the outside. You are dead to that old man. Now, how can we continue in sin? How can we continue to follow the dictates of the sinful man when he is dead? He is dead. But if you don't believe it, if you're still in Adam, and if you're still walking around, that's just who I am, that's just how I am, it is what it is, and you just won't let that old man go, then you're going to continue to follow the dictates of that old man. And here's another thing. For a lot of Christians, you're born again, and you're free from that old man, but you know what happened? That old man left his residue in your thinking. And if you don't renew your mind with the Word of God, then if you don't get a new software up here, even though the old man is gone and the new creation is there, you got to renew your mind with the new software. See, you're still thinking in line with the old man. Glory. You're still acting in line with the old man. And so what's got to happen is you got to renew your mind. You got to exchange your thoughts and your ideas for God's thoughts and His ideas. And the world's going, sin has increased like crazy. So we got to increase in the Word like we've never done before. We got to renew our mind to all of the junk that's out there, all of the temptation that pulls at us, all of the temptation that just wants us. And we just got to renew our mind. And when you fall, don't stay there. When you mess up, don't stay there. Just like, okay, I did that. Let me get up. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. Let me go renew my mind against that way of thinking that I had that moved me to this place. But don't quit. Who Who gave you that idea that you're perfect and you don't need God? You need God, and he's there to help you. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep you from falling. The life was designed to be lived with him, not for you to try to do it on your own, because you can't. Are you listening to me? Come on, let's get in this a little bit more. Praise God. In the same way we couldn't become righteous by works, we don't lose our righteousness by works. We could not become righteous by our works. We do not lose our righteousness by our works. I know people disagree with that, but I didn't become righteous by my works. I became righteous because of my faith in Jesus Christ. I don't lose my righteousness by my works. I don't lose my righteousness by my works. I am still the righteousness of God. When I made a dumb decision, at least I recognized it was a dumb decision, and I went to God and said, God, I just thank you. I'm delivered for that. And then I go and renew my mind, and I'm still righteous. I'm still the righteousness of God. And I know, you know, these Christian people, they just love to beat up and get entangled with the affairs of the world, and just, you know, what a lot of Christians don't understand, they're willing to lie on you, dog you out, slander you, talk about you, use you, because that's coming from a place of brokenness. It's coming from a place of hurt. When you are hurt and when you are broken, you are mean. You are jealous. You are envious. You go after people because that place of brokenness, that place of hurt, that place of disappointment has not been healed. And that's why you need to let Jesus in, so you can get that new creation working on the inside of you, so you can bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. But when you're inside, when you're broken on the inside, then the fruit of brokenness is going to come out. Meanness and slander and hate and all of that is coming from a place of brokenness. When somebody cusses you out and say mean things to you, just pause. They're just that's language coming out of a place of brokenness. You know, this is the time. Jesus is coming back. And I know people don't preach that anymore, but I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. He started a commitment. He's going to finish that commitment. He is coming back. Well, when is he coming back? I don't know. Don't nobody know. Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when. Don't nobody know but the Father. Not even the Son knows. Jesus is coming back. I said, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Well, I don't believe that. They said that 2,000 years ago. See, there you go again. You don't even know how to read the Bible. The Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And so when the Bible talks of 2 days, he's talking about 2,000 years. When he talks one day, he's talking about 1,000 years. So you got to understand how to read this word. And I'm just going to cry loud like a trumpet. I'm never going to stop. I am going to preach this gospel until I leave the planet. And I don't plan on leaving for a long, long time. So you're stuck with me for a long time, preaching this thing, preaching it, until something wakes up in you. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer for our world today. He's the answer for the situations in life today. And Jesus said, tell them what I said, so they'll know I said it. So when it happens, they know I said it before it happened. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be left behind because you chose all of this tomfoolery that's going on right now. You don't want to be left behind. He's coming. He's coming, church. He's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming back. I feel like, you know, over the holidays, I got a command from God to begin to shout loud to the church and to remind them that he's coming back. He's coming back. That's not old wives' tale. That's not a fable. He's coming back. He's coming back. Are you ready? Get your house in order. Are you ready? Recognize who you are. Recognize what he gave you. Think about this. He did all of this for you and you just ignore it? He died and went to hell? Took on your sin? Was crucified? And went with a cat of nine tails for your sin? And you just kind of, so you could have a right to be a new creation and to receive the gift of righteousness, and you pimp away with your finite knowledge, have the audacity to try to make a commentary on a God you don't even know? Dude, wake up. You're talking about being woke. You ain't woke. You got to be woke to this word. You got to wake up. We didn't lose our righteousness by works. We didn't gain it by works. It's a matter of faith in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Please listen to me. Committing a sin doesn't make you partly unrighteous as a Christian. Question about having, I've got questions. People have asked questions about having some dirty spots and needing to be cleansed. If you have that attitude that you got dirty spots and you need to be cleansed and you no longer think you're 100% righteous, you know what you are? Self-righteous. Self-righteousness is based on ourselves. Self-righteousness is based on our good works and our right lifestyle. And that's what most of the church has become, self-righteous. Think of that. Think of a self-righteous church. A self-righteous church that thinks that they're righteous based on their good works. A self-righteous church that thinks they're righteous based on their right lifestyle. God's righteousness is simply based on God Himself. It's His righteousness, and His righteousness is based on Him. It's not based on me. It's not based on you. God's righteousness is based on Him. It's based on God. Here's the question. If you've missed the mark somehow by doing something against God's will, did that affect the righteousness of Jesus? That's the question. Well, let me answer it by saying this. Did Jesus get some dirty spot and needs to be cleansed when you did something? No. Jesus didn't get no dirty spot and needs to be cleansed. Jesus has always and will always, He has always and will always remain fully righteous. And since our righteousness is based on Him, He will always remain and be fully righteous. And so if He's always going to be righteous and my faith is in His righteousness, I'm not going to lose my righteousness. If He didn't lose, the only way I can lose my righteousness is if Jesus loses His righteousness. Because my righteousness is a gift. He gave me His righteousness. I can't lose my righteousness unless Jesus loses His righteousness, and He's not going to do that. And this is the good news. Jesus Christ Himself has become our righteousness. That's the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ Himself has become our righteousness. This is the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 30. The good news is just Jesus has become our righteousness. I am righteous because of Him. I have faith in Him. Therefore, I am righteous. I've been made righteous. Notice what He says here. He says, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, Christ Jesus of God, is made unto us, what, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification or holiness and redemption. He's been made that. And so when I believe Jesus and receive Him, I receive His righteousness. He's been made righteousness. And when I make Jesus my Lord and my Savior, I receive Him. I receive His righteousness. I receive Him. I receive His holiness and sanctification. I receive Him. I receive His wisdom. Please understand, it's not about you. And religion and self-righteousness go hand in hand. You got somebody says, how do I know if I'm religious, if you're self-righteous? Self-righteousness and religion goes hand in hand. Satan has deceived people into thinking that what Jesus did was not enough for us. He's deceived people in thinking that what Jesus did is not enough for us. It's always got to be Jesus plus something else. I mean, we don't even believe that Jesus can, you know, by receiving Jesus, He can help us with our thought life and our mind. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Let's look at it in the New Living Translations. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 through 4, I believe. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 4. Let me show you what I mean. He says, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God Himself. I promise you as a pure bride to one husband. Now, He's not calling us the bride. He is saying, I promise you, just like this example of a pure bride to one husband, Christ Jesus. Because please understand something. I'm going to say something. I'll teach on it later. But the church is not the bride. I know you've heard that all your life. The church is not the bride. Revelation makes it very clear that the bride is the new Jerusalem. In Revelation, I believe it's verse chapter 21, it says, I saw the bride coming from heaven, the new Jerusalem. So it makes it clear. But for some reason, we don't read the Bible no more, and we say the church is the bride. You know, the bride of Christ came from Catholicism, dealing with people who marry the church. And it's just a whole teaching we need to do. And I know I'm freaking people out because all your life, I'm just giving you an example of how church folks listen to stuff and don't go and investigate it. There's no scripture in the Bible that says that the church is the bride of Christ. There's a very clear scripture in Revelation that says that the bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem. And see, this is what I'm going to do until I'm 100. I'm going to keep going into the Word. I'm going to keep confronting the fables that have been preached and say, wake up. You've heard it wrong. You're mad at God because you heard it wrong. You left Jesus because you heard it wrong. You left the church because of church hurt, and you heard it wrong. And you're upset, and you're mad, and you're full of shame and guilt and condemnation, and you got all of that by coming to church. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Come back to God. Come back to Jesus before it's too late. He's coming back. He's coming back. He says, for I'm jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. And notice what he says. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just like Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. So, you know, even here it's like you're fearing that your devotion to God is going to be corrupted, and don't even believe that Jesus is enough to stop you from being corrupted, to stop you from being misled where your devotion to God. Jesus is going to handle that. Look at verse 4. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, you put up with it, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. He says, you put up with that. You happily put up with that. You let people come and they preach all kinds of deception and stuff. It's all to try to attack your devotion to God. But I'm telling you, God's about to show out. God's about to show you who God is. Hallelujah. You're going to know it's God. He's going to do what nobody else can do. He's going to do what no religion can do. He's going to do what somebody told you that this is the Christ and this is the gospel. He's going to contradict everybody that cursed Jesus, that people cursing Jesus. He's going to contradict everybody that say it didn't work. He's going to contradict all that. He's just going to stand up and be God just so you can know that he's God. Let's believe him, man. Let's believe it. Let's believe it. I can, you know, sometimes I can hardly teach the gospel for people who think they just know more than everybody. And you've got to be humble enough to listen to somebody teach you something. I've been doing this for 40 years, to listen to somebody to teach you something, to say something to you, to learn something, instead of you keep pulling up your old traditional belief that's wrong and just want to debate. Okay, if you don't believe, then just don't believe. But don't try to put yourself in a position where you think you know God. Are you satisfied with the amount of time you spent with God and his word? Or are you just an echo, a parrot repeating what somebody else said? That's what he's saying in this verse of scripture. You just sit there and just listen to anything. And then you say it like it's fact because you heard it from somebody else who said it like it was fact. And they heard it from somebody else who said it like it was fact. And there you go, a fable going around in church as if it was actually something that God said or meant. And it's not that at all. I will defend the gospel. I will remain a student of grace. I will be humble enough that when I've taught something that's wrong, to go back and correct it. And those of you in our church, in the World Changes Nation, you've seen me do that. You've seen me come on the pulpit and say, hey, guys, I taught this, that wasn't quite right. let's go at it again. I believe I got it this time. And if I don't have it all this time, I'm going to keep going at it until we get it. But there's one thing I do know. There's one thing I'm sure about. Jesus loved me. He died for me. He defeated and removed that old man from me. And He has given me grace that is greater than anything that I could have ever had while in Adam. That's what I do know.
Have you found yourself in a cycle of continuously sinning? Do you constantly deal with condemnation and fear? Creflo Dollar takes a revealing look at where sin comes from and how to overcome it in his five-message series, The Roots of Sinful Behavior.
Cycles of sin develop because of self-condemnation. If you allow your bad behavior to define who you are, then you're never going to get out of that. You're the righteousness of God that misbehaves. But that misbehavior does not identify your identity. And if you can hold on to your identity in Christ, you will get over and have victory over the cycle of sinful behavior.
Call the number on your screen or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore right now to get your series for a love gift of $30 plus shipping and handling. Don't miss out. Get yours today.
Get ready to renew your mind and spirit at the 2021 Grace Life Conference. Join Creflo Dollar and Taffy Dollar, streaming online worldwide July 15th through the 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern. Learn more at gracelife-conference.org and register now by texting Grace Life to 51555. This is an experience that you don't want to miss.
By the grace of God, we feed and clothe people, provide houses, visit hospitals and prisons, and do so, so much more. Every time you make a financial donation to support us, you do these things as well. The tangible relief we provide to God's precious people is only possible because of your faithful support. Thank you for supporting us as we strive to reach a lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
Get your daily dose of grace on the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. With the Changing Your World podcast, you have encouraging and life-changing wisdom at your fingertips 24/7. Gain a revelation of the fullness of God's grace from Creflo Dollar's powerful sermons. Tune in whenever you need to be edified, no matter where you are. Subscribe to Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.